I was saying, Thank you. isn't it?
It's nice. I like it.
We worship you this morning, for you are worthy, God. Every time. God, we just glorify you in this house. Church, I encourage you this morning to sing, to worship from your heart. So stretch out your hand and meet with it this morning. Thank you. Revolves
and we pray over you and over ourselves is that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of his calling, that we'd be filled with knowledge of who he is, who God is, and revelation and understanding of what he's done for us. And you know, the more you do, like as we were singing, and just singing that 100 billion stars, we think about all God's done, the more it's revealed to you that he's done for you, the more you want to worship him. The more that praise just comes, you can't stop it coming out of you. Because he's done so much, and it says, all of our praise, the words were, all of our praise falls short. And we'll just have to sing it 100 billion times more. And that's why throughout eternity, we'll be worshiping God. Because it'll be revealed to us more and more who he is and what he's done for us. Isn't it wonderful? So good. Father, we worship you in this place. You're worthy of our praise. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding to who you are and what you've done in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Beautiful time of worship, right? Church with you this morning. Won't you just turn and welcome someone? Tell them I'm glad to be in church with you. We appreciate those who sent us. They missed us. We miss being with you. And I was just counting while we were, it just came into church, and I was counting in the last 2 weeks while we were away, we're 2.5 weeks. We were in a conference for a week, a church conference for a week. So that was like Tuesday to Friday. And that was 4 meetings a day, 4 speakers, right? Four in the afternoon and 1 in the night. So that makes 20 meetings we were in a conference, and then Pastor Steve preached 8 times. So we kind of have been in church a whole lot, but praise God, and we believe you had a good time with Mark Morvise. You enjoyed his passionate preaching. That's good to hear. It's wonderful. Well, we're so glad you're in church this morning. We especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. I met a couple of people here for the first time today, and we're glad you've joined us. You'll find a real friendly congregation. I hope you feel very comfortable here. But if you are here for the first time, we'd like to just hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. Don't want to get you to stand up or embarrass you, but right where you're sitting, if you wouldn't mind just waving your hand if you're here for the first time. God bless you. Welcome. Welcome. Just keep it up until an usher sees you one more. There's one at the back. Thank you, guys. You're going to have to get all over here. Put your hand up higher. Thank you. There you go. Just so that they can see you. If they haven't seen you, wave it around. There you go. Wonderful, wonderful. Inside there is a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll just be an encouragement to you. Maybe you'll get a chance to listen to it this week. And hope it just builds your faith and makes you feel more positive about things God's going to do in your life. And then there's a white card in there. If you just take a moment and fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. You can just drop that card in. And it gives Pastor an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. And we welcome those who are watching online. It's always, we always have people watching from all over. Sometimes we think, who on earth can that be? People watch from all over the world. So we're glad that you've joined us this morning as well. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Feel free.
Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is good to see you. It is wonderful. Thank you. It is wonderful to be back. Really, it is. We missed you very much. I missed home. even though, you know, as you know, I was born in Detroit, Michigan, but we moved to South Africa when I was 8, and so I love South Africa and I love the people of South Africa, but this is home for us. And I really, this was a long trip for me. I couldn't wait to get back, I almost kissed the ground when I came over there. But, you know, we weren't on vacation. People asked me, how was your vacation? Preaching 8 times, and I said, it's not a vacation. And then the last week I got really ill. And so last Sunday I was preaching 4 services with a fever. But I'm very glad to be home and very glad to see you all and very glad to be in the presence of the Lord here with you. The presence of God is here this morning. Amen. Isn't that right? Yeah, it is. And we had a great time at the conference, Christian Family Church, Johannesburg. The Lord is doing wonderful things there. You know, I have to go back every year to find out everything that's happening. You know there's over 800 Christian Family Churches now? Last time I checked there were 450. There's over 800 and almost 50 Bible colleges. And in April, we're launching Christian Family Church in Cuba. It's a big deal. I don't know if you know this, but in Cuba, you have to have a special license from the government to be able to have services. And of course, most of them are the major denominations. But the Lord just opened the door for Christian Family Church, and the license cost $50,000. So we, our church, sowed $1,000 toward the 50. And so in April, I'm going with Pastor Theo to Cuba. We're going to be preaching and having miracle crusades and launching Christian Family Church all across Cuba. We've already got, I think, 75 pastors working with us. And so that's great that the Lord is doing, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. And so anyway, we were there at the conference with Clayton Jennings was preaching at the conference. And Kevin Zadai was preaching at the conference. All my friends at the conference, Kevin Zadai. And who else was preaching?
Tim Story.
Tim Story was there as well. Tim Story. And it was wonderful to have my mom. I took my mom and Nadine, my daughter, and Brady with us. My mom hasn't been back to South Africa for a number of years. And so it was great to go back. My mother was the first woman to go to Christian Family Church. The first lady. The second, she was there on the second Sunday. There were 4 people. 1979. Now there are thousands and 800 churches around the world, and the Lord is doing great things. So then, so we had the conference, and then we were with Pastor Alan and Janine Bagg. I preached 4 services at their church, and then we went back to Johannesburg and back to Cape Town for their daughter Brittany got married, and we went to the wedding, and then went back to Johannesburg, preached 4 services, and so I had to come home for vacation. Praise God. Are you ready for God's word today?
Yes.
You know, the Sunday before I left, which is 3 weeks ago now, I preached a message called God's Got This. And when I came in today, Tom Cartwright said to me, God's Got This. At that time, I don't know if you remember, but we were trusting the Lord for the remaining $50,000 that we need for our new building. And when I said to you, God's got this. And while we were gone, I just want to let you know that the money came in and we paid that. We've now paid the $75,000 to the building. Now all we're trusting God is for the zoning to be completed. And then in January, we will take possession of the building and we will start the build out in January. And I'm trusting God that by sometime in March or April at the latest, we'll be in our new building. That's exciting, isn't it? Miguel, you and me. You and me. More you than me, I'm sure. Our setup team are very happy about, you know, our setup team arrives here at 6:30 a.m. every Sunday. and they set all this up for us, and we so appreciate it. While I was gone, I'm thinking about you and praying for you. If it wasn't for you, we couldn't do what we're doing. You know, we're a team. This is a team. How many of you realize we're a team? We're a team and we're a family. And we all have our part to play, and I really appreciate every person that serves and volunteers. Our worship team did such a great job today. I love the worship team. I mean, I'm the Christian Family Church, and it's a huge church, 3,500 seats, and they're expanding. By 2019, they'll be expanded to 6,500 seats. The Lord has just done. I'm so glad for Christian Family Church, Annenberg, and for Pastor Fee and Bev, because they've certainly been faithful for 38 years, and they built a building a number of years ago, and it was about 100 million rand. And at the time, I thought, my goodness, Pastor Fee, you're a man of great faith, because he lives in San Antonio, and he only goes back to Johannesburg three times a year, and they built this huge, big new complex. But anyway, the Lord has blessed them. They paid this thing down. They only owe 18 million rand, which is less than $2 million. And it's huge. And so they bought all these parcels of land all around their building. They started off with 10 acres, then they bought another five and another five. Anyway, they just recently, about 2 years ago, bought 50 acres of property right next door. And their plan was to build a 10,000-seat building. It was going to cost about 500 million rand, half a billion rand. But what happened is a company wanted to build a huge hospital and three hotels, and they were looking for property. So Pastor Theo, just while we were there, they bought that 5 acres for 55 million rand. You can divide it by about 10 or 12. So it's about $5 million. And this company came in and they just bought it for 130 million, which means they're going to expand, instead of building a new 10,000 seater, they're going to expand their building to 6,500 seats, and they're going to be debt-free. They're going to owe one dime. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? They have this huge building and not owe a penny. God is good. The Lord is good. All the time. Tell your neighbor, God's got this. I don't know what you're facing, but I can tell you right now, you can trust in the faithfulness of God. Amen? Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
I have a message in my heart. I've been waiting 3 weeks to share this with you. 3 weeks. It's called Right on Time. Father, today we thank you so much for your presence, Lord. We thank you that you are good and you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, that even when we are faithless, you remain faithful because you cannot deny yourself. And Lord, today I just thank you for your word, Father. I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. And Lord, as I stand today to teach and declare your word, I make it known that I'm trusting in you. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting you to help me, to anoint me, to speak through me, Lord. And I thank you that you carry your word by the anointing of your Holy Spirit to every person's heart. And you cause faith to rise up big in our heart, Father. I thank you for filling us with hope, with peace, with your joy. And we give you all the praise for everything that will be said and everything that will be done in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
And amen. I want to speak about right on time. Right on time. Does anyone have anything that you are trusting God you're waiting on? Anyone? Anything that you're waiting on? We've all got things we're waiting on. Waiting on a dream to come to pass. Waiting on our health to improve. Waiting on meeting the right person. We know God has put the promise in our heart, but sometimes we wonder why it's taking so long. But do you know the scripture talks about how there is an appointed time for that promise to be fulfilled? I want to read a few scriptures here that talk about appointed time. In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, it says there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. And in Exodus 9 verse 5, it says, then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. There was a set time. That's talking about when God delivered the children of Israel. In Genesis 18 verse 14, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That was God's promise to Abraham and Sarah. She was barren. She was unable to have children. And yet God said, at the appointed time, she will conceive. And then in Genesis 21 verse 2, it says, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. of which God has spoken to him. Tell your neighbor, there's a set time. There's an appointed time. Habakkuk 2 verse 3 says the vision is yet for an appointed time. Do you have a vision in your heart? The Bible says it's for an appointed time. But in the end it will speak and it will not lie. And though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will surely come at the appointed time. Listen, family, if there's a right time, that means that any other time is the wrong time. If you don't understand this, that God will always be right on time, then the delays and the detours and the waiting period will cause you to get frustrated. But you know, it's not enough to just trust God. You have to trust God's timing. He knows when you're ready. He knows when it's the right person. He knows when to open that door. He knows when to turn that situation around. And if it's not happening yet, you've got to be mature enough to accept that it's not the right time. Instead of living upset, you've got to do like David did. David said in Psalm 31 in verse 14, "But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and those who persecute me." Now notice, David said, "Lord, I trust you. My times are in your hand. Lord, you know when to bless me. You know when to promote me. You know when to deliver me. God, I trust in your timing." Amen? Yes. Say, "Lord, I trust your timing." Yes. Say, "My times are in your hand." Yes. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 12, it says, "Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise." Notice, you inherit the promise through faith and patience. In fact, the contemporary Bible says you would be following the example of those who had faith and were patient until God kept his promise to them. And the Living Bible says it like this: follow the example of those who receive all that God has promised them because of their strong faith and patience. Now, it's easy to have faith. It's easy to believe for your dreams. But without patience, you can get in trouble. Just ask Moses. I mean, as a young man, Moses knew he was supposed to deliver the Israelites. He felt that calling in his heart. He had the promise, but he didn't have the patience. And he got in a hurry, and he killed a man, an Egyptian, who was mistreating a Hebrew slave. And Moses' heart was right, but his timing was off, and he had to flee for his life. And he spent 40 years in the desert, all because he got out of God's timing. The scripture says in Psalm 106, verse 13, "They soon forgot about what he had done, and they did not wait for his plan to unfold." Do you know, you have to wait for God's plan to unfold. What you're believing for, maybe it's taking longer than what you thought. Maybe you're not making progress. You're not seeing a dream come to pass. But God knows what he's doing, family. Don't try and force things to happen. You don't have to promote yourself. You don't have to manipulate people. You don't have to convince people to like you. Yes, we should be determined. But you don't have to beat down a door. At the right time, things will just fall into place. Yes. At the right time, the right people will show up. All you're going to do, you're going to do your part and wait for the promise to unfold. You're not falling behind. You're not being left out. You're right on schedule. Let me tell you, God is working behind the scenes. You may not be able to see it right now, but he's lining up the right people for you. He's arranging the right breaks for you. He's ordering your steps. If you'll be patient, you'll see his plan unfold. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 11, if you read from the Message translation, Jesus speaks about the unforced rhythms of grace. In Matthew 11 verse 28, Jesus said this: "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Do you know that walking with Jesus is supposed to be a life of rest? It's supposed to be a life of ease. It's supposed to be it's not a heavy burden. Are you with me? Unforced means you don't have to struggle. You don't have to fight against everything. Try and make it happen. You can relax. You can live at rest knowing God is unfolding His plan for my life. See, it may not be happening on your timetable, but God knows when the right time is. And if you don't understand this, you'll wonder, why isn't it happening faster, Pastor Steve? Why am I not making more progress? Well, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. It's just not the right time. Why don't you come over into the unforced rhythms of grace? Stop worrying. Stop being frustrated. Your times are in His hands. God, who created the universe, is going to unfold His plan for your life. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't say you have to work for it. It doesn't say you have to earn it. It doesn't say you have to make it happen. It says God's going to give you the desires of your heart. It's going to happen without the struggle, without the frustration, without all the experience. It's going to be easier than you think. You'll know it was the hand of God because you didn't have to force that door to open. You didn't have to manipulate people. You came into your time and God made things happen that you could never make happen by yourself. I know you trust God. How many people trust God? Wave your hand if you trust the Lord. Well, I'm asking you to trust His timing. To quit being frustrated because it's not happening as fast as you would like it. You know, every season is not a growing season. Every season is not a harvest season. There are seasons of planting. There are seasons of watering. There are seasons of fertilizing and pulling up the weeds. Those are important seasons. They're times of testing. And when that's when we're showing God what we're made of. Are we going to keep a good attitude when we're not seeing growth, when we're not making progress? Are we going to have faith and patience? Do you know the scripture says in Psalm 1 verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. Day and night, she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Do you know, family, all we have to do, our number one priority is to meditate in the Word of God. When you meditate on God's Word day and night, number one, you're not going to be worried. You're not going to be upset when you're meditating on what God says day and night. You're not going to be wondering why it's taking so long. You're going to be at peace. You're going to know God is in control. And when you do this, you'll be like a tree planted by the waters that brings forth its fruit in its season. It doesn't say it'll bring forth its fruit 365 days a year. It says in its season. It implies there's a waiting period. Yeah. Are you with me? It implies there's periods of no growth. There's periods where you don't see anything happening. I mean, does anyone here have any fruit tree in your yard at home? Does anyone have a fruit tree at home? Who's got a fruit tree? What kind of fruit tree you got? You got a banana tree. You did? Well, let me ask you this. Does your banana tree produce bananas 365 days a year? Certain seasons, right? There's a season where that tree is full of bananas. Right? But there are certain times of year where there's no growth. There's no bananas. There's no blossoms. If those trees could talk, they wouldn't be worried. They wouldn't be saying, what's wrong? We don't have any bananas. What's wrong with us? God's forgotten about us. No, they'd be as calm and as peaceful as can be. You know why? Because they know there's nothing wrong. They're just not in season. Maybe you're not seeing any growth. Maybe you feel stuck. Like those trees, there's nothing wrong. It's just timing. You're in a waiting period. Or perhaps a development period. But let me tell you, when you come into your season, you're going to bear so much fruit. But the question is this. When you're not in a growing season, you're not in a harvest season, are you going to get discouraged and think it's never going to change? Are you going to lose your passion and give up on what God promised you? But if you keep meditating in the Word of God and keep your mind filled with thoughts of faith and hope, then without even trying, you're going to come into your season. See, those fruit trees, they don't have to work to produce fruit. They don't have to struggle and put forth all this effort. When they're in season, it happens automatically. It's just who they are. When you come into your season, you're not going to struggle. You're not going to have to try and make things happen. You're going to naturally bear fruit. That means God will cause the right people to find you. Gifts and talents will come out of you that you didn't even know were on the inside of you. Good breaks will chase you down. I mean, you might have been waiting for a long time. Maybe you've tempted to get discouraged, but get ready, because I'm here to tell you, family, that your season is coming. You're about to see new growth. You're about to see unexpected favor. You're about to see blessings. They're going to catapult you to the next level in your life. You couldn't have made it happen on your own, but because you were faithful in the waiting period, because you did the right thing when it was slow, God is going to bring you into a harvest season, into a season of abundance. In fact, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, family. The truth is, none of us like to go through the waiting period. It's easy to get frustrated and say, God, if I'm going to come in my season in 6 months, why don't you just do it now? Save me the frustration. Bring the right person now. Lord, give me the promotion now. Listen, God knows what He's doing. If He promoted you before you were ready, it wouldn't be a blessing. It would be a burden, because you wouldn't be able to handle it. God's going to get you prepared for what He has in store. God loves you too much to do it too soon. And you may have a promise in your heart. You know God's given it to you, but you don't see anything happening. Listen, that's a season of waiting. God's using that to do a work in you. And if you will pass the test, if you will have faith and patience, then you're growing. Your spiritual muscles are getting stronger. Your character is being developed. Well, Pastor Steve, I don't understand it. All my friends are being promoted, but not me. I don't understand it. I come to church every Sunday. They only come to church on Easter time. I don't get it. Listen, don't ever compare your situation to somebody else. It's one of the biggest mistakes you can make. You're not running their race. God may be taking you to a higher level, and it's going to require more character, more commitment, more discipline. You're going to keep doing the right thing. Your season is coming. You know, when our son Luke was 10 years old, I didn't give him the keys to the car and say, Luke, go take a drive. I want you to have everything that I've stored up for you. I didn't let him have the car. Not because I was trying to keep something good from him or push him down or make his life miserable. I didn't do it because I loved him. I knew him having a car at 10 years old wouldn't be a blessing. It would be a curse. Do you know sometimes God shows His love for us not by what He gives us, but what He withholds from us. If God were to let you marry that first person that you really wanted to marry, you probably wouldn't be here today. At least not in your right mind. If He were to let you have that baby, that promotion, that new house before you were ready, it would have limited your future. God knows what we can handle. And so sometimes in order to protect us, He says, not now. Not yet. Don't fight it. Trust His timing. Let me tell you, no doesn't mean never. It means it's just not the right time. Amen. Luke got a car when he was 16 years old. He just had to grow up. It's all part of the process. A good father may have a good gift, but he won't give it at the wrong time. How many of you know God is not a good father? He's a great father. Yeah. And God has great gifts in store for you. The scripture says in James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Listen, don't be frustrated if God has not given it to you yet. I encourage you to keep growing, keep honoring God, stay faithful, keep passing the test, God can see the big picture, family. He knows what you're going to need, and you may think you're ready, but you can't see how high God is going to take you. You can't see how much influence and resources He's going to entrust you with. God knows not only what you need, He knows who you're going to need.
That's right.
Amen. And sometimes God is saying not now, because somebody else that's going to be involved is not ready. God's still working on them. They're going to be instrumental in your life. They're going to open a door. They're going to be a close friend, maybe even your spouse. So be patient and go through the waiting period with a good attitude, like David did. My times, Lord, are in your hands. Amen? I mean, the other day, just a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting at Starbucks with Joe Siegel. That's the owner of the building that we purchased. And our architect was there, and Tom Cartwright was there with us too. And I was just amazed as I sat at that table. I saw how God had orchestrated our new building. How God had caused a Jewish man to see me on television. I mean, I'm sure he's not watching Christian television. But somehow God caused him to see me. And God moved upon this man's heart to help us, to help me. And I began to think about everything happened at the right time. Everything happened at the right time. Amen? I mean, two, three weeks ago, we were trusting the Lord for $50,000. And it's just amazing because we had someone in our church that had been in a lawsuit for a number of years in this lawsuit. And it just so happened that the lawsuit got settled the very week that we needed the remainder of that $50,000. And I'm telling you, I mean, you talk about the right time. This lawsuit had been going on for 8 years. But it just so happened that it got settled the very week that we needed those funds. Praise God. In fact, it was more than what we needed. And so right now, we've got some money in the bank for our build out. Because how many of you know the $75,000? Thank God for all of you who gave toward that. But how many of you realize that's not everything we're going to need, because we're going to do some renovations. And so we have some funds toward that. You talk about the right time. Amen. You know, I want to encourage you today, because I'll be honest with you. I mean, when I looked at that, I didn't see how we were going to be able to do this. But I realized God had this whole thing arranged. I mean, the Girl Scouts had been renting that building for 15 years from the day it opened. How many of you know the Girl Scouts are not going bankrupt anytime soon? I don't think so. And yet, they decide that at the end of this year, they are going to move south. And they're joining up with the Broward Girl Scout. And they're moving in a bigger building. God had this all arranged. For 15 years, God had that arranged at just the right time. You know, I heard the other day, I was watching Joel Osteen, Pastor Joel Osteen, and he was telling how that, you know, after he went to college, he came back to Lakewood Church. His father, John Osteen, and his mom, Dodie Osteen, started Lakewood Church in 1959. And when Joel came back from college, he started the television ministry. And he loved doing production. He loved doing editing. He loved putting his father's sermons on TV. He was behind the scenes for 17 years. And his father was very supportive of him. He let him buy the best equipment, and they put on these exciting concerts. But toward the end of Pastor John Osteen's life, he didn't want to do that anymore. And so one time, Joel said, he lined up all these radio stations to carry his father's broadcast. And he told his dad, "Dad, if you'll just come in once a month, in less than an hour, we can do all the closings and all openings and closings, and the radio program will go out all over the world." And his father said, "Joel, I don't want to do that." He said, "I'm 75 years old. I'm not looking for any more work. I want to relax. I want to just pastor the church." And Joel said he was so disappointed. He thought, "God, I'm young. You put big dreams in my heart. I don't want to do less. I want to do more." He didn't understand it. And so he even considered moving on. He even considered that it was maybe time for him to move on, leave his dad. And he had an offer to go work for another large ministry. But when he prayed about it, when he got real quiet, he could hear the still small voice saying, "Joel, not yet. Be patient. You're in a waiting period. Your season's coming." And he told his wife, Victoria, he said, "This is my father's vision. He's been here for 40 years. And I'm not going to get sour because I'm not getting my own way. I'm going to honor my father. And I'm going to do what he would like me to do." Thank God for an attitude like that. He made the decision to be his best in the waiting period. To do the right thing when he didn't feel like it. He never dreamed that 2 years later, his father would go home to be with the Lord. And Joel would become the pastor of that church. Now he realizes that God put those dreams in his heart for his own ministry. It just wasn't the right time. And if he hadn't passed the test, if he hadn't been faithful in that waiting period, he wouldn't be where he is today. Let me tell you, family, God knows what he's doing. If he's asking you to wait, that means what he has in store is going to be bigger than what you can imagine. Is God saying to you, not now, in some area of your life? Maybe you're praying for something to change. You believe in for a dream. You believe in for a breakthrough. It's not happening. Let me tell you, it is a test. It's a test. You're in the waiting period. You've got to keep on doing the right thing. The Bible says in due season, you will reap if you don't give up, if you don't quit. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." The New Living Translation says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life." Say, "Thank you, Lord. You are directing my footsteps. You are ordering my footsteps." And then tell him, we are grateful that God is directing our footsteps. But the truth is, he's ordering our steps. And when your steps are ordered, you don't have a choice. We all have free will, I understand. But God will put us in situations on purpose that we can't get out of. And you can either be there sour, complaining, fighting it, or you can say, "Lord, I believe you've ordered my steps. I believe you have me here for a reason. I may not be comfortable. It may be taking longer than what I would like it to. But God, I not only trust you, but I trust your timing. Because I know when I'm ready, you're going to bring me into my season of much fruit." That's what Joseph did. How many of you know Joseph kept passing the test in the waiting period? When it was unfair. When he was betrayed. When he was falsely accused. If he hadn't gone through those tests with the right attitude, developing his character, showing God what he was made of, he would have never become the prime minister over all of the land. And you know, you can have great faith. You can believe for big things. But without patience, you will get stuck. Without going through the waiting period with a good attitude, it'll limit your destiny. Joseph was not in a hurry. He knew he had to wait for God's plan to unfold. And along the way, it didn't always look like his steps were being ordered by the Lord. How many of you, what would you think if your brothers sold you as a slave? "Oh, the Lord's ordering my steps." And then you go work for Potiphar, and you're faithful. And Potiphar's wife, she wants to sleep with you, and you run away. And then she accuses you of trying to rape her, and you get thrown in jail. "The Lord's ordering my steps." And 13 years you're in jail. Imagine. But how many of you know God was ordering his steps? Being thrown into a pit by his family, being put in prison for something he didn't do. He could have said, "God, it's not fair. Look at what they're doing to me, Lord. It's not fair." But you're not going to understand everything that happens, family. You may be in a difficult place. It doesn't look like it's ever going to change. I want you to stay encouraged today. I want you to believe your steps are being ordered by the Lord. I want you to know you are right on schedule. The delay, the detour, the disappointment. It's all part of God's plan. You be patient. If you be patient and wait for God's plan to unfold, then like Joseph, let me tell you, you'll see God vindicate you. You'll see God promote you. I mean, I think about last year, June, when we moved out of our building. And I didn't understand it because I was praying. I believe the Lord led us to that building. I still believe He did. And yet, we were paying almost $30,000 on a mortgage. And then we ended up moving out of the building. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't understand it. But now. Oh, my goodness. Now we're going into a better building, in a better location. And instead of costing us $30,000 a month, it's going to cost us $12,500 a month. It's like a dream. And you know what? I still believe that building on Center Street is ours too. I believe that building on Center Street is ours too. It's been sitting vacant for 17 months. They can try to sell it as much as they want. I believe. I'm saying this, Tom. They're going to come. Their bank's going to call me up. They're going to say, please, will you take this building back? And I will say, yes, for $1 million I will take it back. We're not letting go of it. Maybe we'll rent it out to another church. I don't know what we'll do, but I just sense in my heart, God's going to do something in that building. But we're landing up in a better building with a half the payment. Amen. I mean, listen, family. Like Joseph, you see God vindicate you. You see God promote you. You see God take you to a new level of your destiny. But look at Joseph's attitude. Years later, when his brothers came to him for help, I love Joseph's attitude. In Genesis 50, verse 19, look what he said. Joseph replied. He said, don't be afraid of me. These are the men, these are his brothers who sold him as a slave. He said, am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I can save the lives of many people. He said, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. And he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. The New King James Bible says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day. God's Word translation says, even though you planned evil against me, God planned good to come out of it. Do you know God can take what the enemy meant for your evil and God can turn it around to your advantage? The Living Bible says, as far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. God can turn into good what was meant for your evil. You know, when God did something significant in the scripture, many times the Bible says it happened suddenly. It says, or at once the prison doors were opened. They were in a waiting period. They didn't see anything changing. No sign of it happening. Then all of a sudden, it happened. God was showing them that He can turn things around without any warning. He can increase you unexpectedly, out of the ordinary. You didn't see it coming. You were just doing the right thing, going through the difficulty with faith and with patience, and suddenly you came into your season. Suddenly your business just took off. Suddenly your health just turned around. Suddenly you met the right person. One touch of God's favor can catapult you to the next level in your life. Amen. I want you to know God's got some suddenlies in your future. Even when it's taken a long time, you still have to have an expectancy, knowing at any moment you suddenly could show up. Just one good break, just one phone call, just meeting one right person, and you suddenly will show up. You'll come out of your waiting period into a season of blessing. See, just like God orders the steps, our steps in time of testing, He orders our steps into seasons of increase and promotion. And you might have been in a waiting period for a long time, doing the right thing, being patient, but God is saying, get ready, you're about to see some suddenlies in your life. Get ready, you're about to come into a season of much fruit, a season of new growth, where God thrusts you to the next level in your life, family. He's going to put you at the right place, at the right time. Let me tell you, when it says God orders our steps, that doesn't mean God does it vaguely or over here in this general area or in the next week or two. Let me tell you, God is not vague. God is precise. He is detailed. He is specific. Down to the split second, He will order your steps to be in the right place at the right time. I mean, when I think about Joe Siegel, who is Jewish, just happened to be watching television when my commercial with Joel Osteen came on, God was ordering his steps. And suddenly I came into my season. God made things happen that I couldn't make happen. I was talking to our attorney the other day, and he asked me, Pastor Steve, why does this man, Joe Siegel, like you so much? He asked me, why does he do this? Do you know that his own children are both attorneys? Joe's children are grown. They're probably my age. And they're both attorneys. And his brother is a New York federal judge. And his brother and his children are trying to talk him out of this deal. And Joe Siegel is defending me. And my attorney says, why does he like you so much? I said, you know why? The favor. Amen. The favor of God. Why does he want to help you? Let me tell you right now, God is not only ordering your steps, but he's ordering the steps of the people that you need. He's going to cause them to come across your path. Where opportunity finds you, where good breaks begin to track you down. And what you're believing for may be taking a long time. You don't see positive, I don't see how it's ever going to change. Stay encouraged. Because God's got some suddenlies lined up for you. Things you didn't see coming. Where he had you at the right place at the right time. Unexpectedly you met the right person. Or that business deal just fell into your lap. Or that problem just suddenly turned around. Don't be frustrated because it's not happening as fast as you would like it to happen. You are right on schedule. Say, I'm right on schedule. Right. Say, my steps are being ordered by the Lord. Say, any moment, I'm going to come into my season. Amen. Amen. You know, in Mark chapter 5, there was a leader in the synagogue. He came to Jesus. His name was Jairus. And he fell at Jesus' feet. And he said, Jesus, my little girl, she's so sick, she's close to death. Please come and pray for her. And so Jesus agreed. And they started walking to Jairus' house. And I can imagine that the father was so excited because he knew he's going to get his miracle. But as they were traveling, in the middle of this big crowd, this lady came who had been sick for 12 years. The Bible calls her the lady with the issue of blood. And she fought her way through the crowd. And she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and instantly she was healed. And Jesus stopped, and he asked, who touched me? And he spent time talking to this lady, hearing her life story. And while it was a great miracle, it delayed Jesus from getting to the little girl's house. I'm sure the father was happy that the lady with the issue of blood was healed, but because of the delay, his little girl died. And his friends came and they said, don't bother Jesus anymore. It's too late. Your daughter has died. He had to watch somebody else get healed while his daughter didn't get healed. Here's the question. Will you keep a good attitude when you see other people being blessed, but you're still waiting for your blessing? Yes. Right. Your friend got engaged, but you're still single waiting for the right person. Your co-worker moved into that new house, but you're still in the apartment waiting for the increase. In the middle of all this commotion, in the middle of all this excitement, this man felt like Jesus had forgotten about him. It's too late. And so he turned to walk away, and Jesus stopped him. And Jesus said to him in Mark 5, verse 35, do not be afraid, only believe. The Message Bible says it like this. Don't listen to them. Just trust me. Let me tell you, you've got to get good at tuning out the opinions of the naysayers and the critics and the people that discourage you. And you've got to trust Jesus. Jesus was saying, in effect, it's not too late. I haven't forgotten about you. I'm right on time. You're right on schedule. Your steps are being ordered by the Lord. That delay didn't stop my plan. I'm still going to do what I promised. And look what happened. In verse 37, Jesus stopped the crowd and he wouldn't let anyone go with him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. And so he went inside and he asked, why is all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. And the crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. And he took the little girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. And holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha Karam, which means, little girl, get up. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around, and they were overwhelmed and they were totally amazed. Now here's the principle, family. Here's the principle. This man came to Jesus for a healing. But because of the delay, he ended up receiving a greater miracle. He received a resurrection. The same thing happened with Lazarus. Lazarus was very sick, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent for Jesus to come and heal him. But Jesus waited 3 days before he got there. And when Jesus finally arrived, Lazarus had died, and they were all disappointed, and they were upset, and they thought it's too late now, but Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Let me tell you, when it's taking longer than what you thought, don't get discouraged, because it means God's got something bigger. God's got something better. God's got something that you weren't expecting. Like this man, he's going to do something where not only you, but the people around you will be astonished. They will be amazed. They will be overwhelmed at his goodness in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, friends, God has not forgotten about you. God knows how long it's been. God's heard all your prayers. He's seen all the times you've done the right thing. And the circumstances may be telling you that it's never going to happen, that it's too late. But God is saying, you're right on schedule. You're about to come into your season. I am ordering your steps. It's not going to be a healing. It's going to be something better. It's going to be a resurrection. Now you've got to do your part. Pass the waiting period, family. Keep believing. Keep expecting. Keep confessing God's promise. Keep praising Him. Keep giving. Keep having a good attitude. Don't give up. The Bible says if you don't give up, you will reap in your due season. Family, I believe because you have faith and because you have patience, I believe you are going to see God's plan unfold for your life. I believe you're going to see promises come to pass. I believe you're going to see dreams fulfilled. I believe you're going to see problems turn around. I believe you're going to see the fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that today? Let's give the Lord a big praise today. Praise Him today. Say thank you, Lord. My times are in your hands. Thank you, Lord. You are ordering my footsteps. Thank you, Lord. You are working behind the scenes. And I know at the appointed time, the vision will be fulfilled. The promise will be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus. Say this, say, Lord, I trust you. And I trust your timing. I thank you that it's not too late. I thank you that I'm right on schedule, Lord. I thank you that I'm right on time, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you receive this today? Praise God. Let me tell you, God is right on time. He's right on time. Isn't He? Amen. Bow your head for a moment. I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for every person here this morning, every person that is watching this. And I thank you, Lord, that you're God. You're always right on time, Lord. I thank you, Father, that even if it requires a resurrection, I thank you, Lord, that if we will just keep trusting you, if we will just keep expecting, if we will just keep passing the test, I thank you, Lord, that we'll come into that time of due season, Father. I thank you, Father, that you are accelerating things in the name of Jesus. I thank you, you're bringing promises to pass, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are catapulting us to the next level. I thank you, Lord, for suddenlies that are in our future. Lord, even this week, suddenly, you meet the right person. Suddenly, the right door opens. Suddenly, that big contract, suddenly, that job offer. Thank you, Father, that you are guiding and ordering our footsteps. We put our trust in you in the name of Jesus. I want to ask you, while we have our eyes closed and while we have our heads bowed, before we continue the service this morning, I want to pray especially a life-changing prayer for every person who's here this morning. And you say, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with God today. I've heard about Jesus, but I don't know Him personally. Listen, dear friend, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know for sure, if you died today, you know you'd go to heaven? Or do you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure. I hope I'd go to heaven if I died today. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you, even if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, can you say for certain, for sure, you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Because the good news, the reason you're here today at this right time, the good news, family, is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed in your life, it is forgiven and it is washed away. You can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you are sitting this morning, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and the Lord. Pray for me. If that's you, I ask you quickly right now just to slip your hand up high in the name of Jesus. Lift your hand up. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand being raised. Just lift it up right now. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is knocking at your heart. Right now, you feel your heart beating in your chest. The Lord is He's wanting to change your life today. If you're not sure where you stand with Him, just lift your hand with these others, and I want to pray for you. In fact, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask you, if you lifted up your hand, please say this prayer with me today. This is a prayer that I prayed, 38 years ago now, and I never realized how my life would change. I want you to know God's got a wonderful plan for your life. You're not here by an accident today. You are here today because the Lord ordered your steps. I want you to say this prayer with me. And I'm going to ask church, will you please all say this prayer together with them? Everybody, say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me to take my sins and my punishment, and to die on a cross so that I could be saved. Lord, you said that if I would believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess Jesus is Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. And so I do this today. Say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for me, that He rose again. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. Make me your child, because I surrender my life to you. I confess, Jesus, you are now my Lord. And that means from today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk with you. And I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. Say, I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. And I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen. And amen. Give God thanks and praise this morning. Praise God. Wonderful. Well, I don't know about you, but I preached myself happy today. How about you? Amen. Say it's the right time. God's ordering my steps. I know He's working in my life. He's guiding me. His favor surrounds me. I am expecting suddenly to show up in my life in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen.
Good preaching. Good preaching, right? Stir your faith. Keep us steady in season and out of season, right? Praise God. Well, now's an opportunity we have this time in the service where we get to give into the kingdom of God. Amen? It is an opportunity. And I heard a scripture this week, last week in conference, and it just blew my mind. Jeremiah 11, from the Message translation, from verse 4, it says, God said, obey what I tell you. Do exactly what I command you. Your obedience will close the deal. You'll be mine and I'll be yours. This will provide the conditions in which I will be able to do what I promised your ancestors. Isn't that amazing? Just let's read that from the beginning. He said, obey what I tell you. Do exactly what I command you. Your obedience will close the deal. You'll be mine and I'll be yours. And this will provide the conditions in which I will be able to do what I promised your ancestors, to give them a fertile and a lush land. And as you know, that's what I did. Yes, God, I replied, that's true. Do you know that our obedience to God's word determines the flow of finance in our life? Our obedience to God's word, just what he said in that scripture, our obedience is what provides the conditions for the promise of God to come to pass. We might say, well, it's God that does it, you know, whether God that wants to or if the Lord wills. No, our obedience to his word creates certain conditions in our life. And when it comes to tithing and giving, what we do with what God says is what makes the difference in our life, right? You know, some people think, well, if God determines it, well, if God determined how money flowed, then every believer would be rich and the mafia would be poor, right? But it's not. We have something to do with it. Our obedience to God's word and God's principles is what creates fertile conditions in our life and produces for us. And we can turn our lives into fertile land by just doing what God says. Proverbs 11 says this, one person gives freely and yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but they come to poverty. So you'd think in the world system, if you held on to what you had, you would have more. But the Bible says when you give, you gain more. When you hold on to what you have, you lose what you have. It's completely opposite to what we think in the natural. It says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now we know when a farmer works his soil, what he's doing is making it able to produce. He's transforming it. And that's exactly what happens when we obey God's word concerning giving and being generous and tithing. What we're doing is we're working our soil and we're making it able to produce way more than if we didn't do what God said. Amen? Do you get that? And so when we tithe, we receive fertile, lush soil. God is able to produce more in our lives. So this morning, as you prepare to give, there are envelopes on the seats in front of you, right under you, not in front of you, right by you. Help yourself to those if you give online, to those who give faithfully online, those who have recurring giving. We really appreciate it. It just helps everything work so smoothly in our ministry. Those who are watching online, you can go ahead and give there. We appreciate your faithfulness. to obey the word of God. We're trusting God with you. We speak the word over you. We speak promotion and increase and the hand of God on your life. Amen. You're not on your own. We put our faith with you. And let's just pray right now over our giving today. Father God, we thank you for what we're able to tithe. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed our lives. We thank you for what you've given us. Father, today we faithfully tithe and give the first tenth to you. We honor you with our giving today. We recognize that you are our source. We declare that you are our source, Lord. And we look to you for this week to come, Father. As we sow, you said give and it shall be given back to you. We thank you, Father, for giving into our lives, putting us in the right place at the right time. Thank you for deals and contracts and meeting the right people. In the name of Jesus, our trust is in you. Amen. Amen. We believe that, right? Praise God. Well, you can prepare yourself to give. And those visitors, if you'll take that white card that you have, and just when the offering bag comes by, don't forget to drop it in. Thanks. One more thing. Come on up. I just mentioned that next week is the lunch club. And we're going to be meeting and going over to eat at Thai Lotus. We'll tell you more details next week, but just prepare yourself for next week so anyone can join us for lunch.
Praise God. I've got two quick things that I want to mention before we close, and we're gonna close the way we started. We're gonna close worshiping the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. Yes. But I wanna mention to you that on November the 7th, Tuesday, November the 7th, we are going to be starting our last Christian Growth Seminar of the year. Now, the Christian Growth Seminar is a dynamic Bible study course that I teach, and it runs for 4 Tuesday nights. It really is life-changing. And if you've never done the Christian Growth Seminar, I really encourage you to sign up for it today. We've got a number of people already signed up. It's free of charge, and we would love to have you there. So many things you're going to learn. You'll get baptized. You'll learn about the power of the Holy Spirit, how to receive the power of God in your life. You'll learn how to pray and see results when you pray. You'll learn how faith works and how to walk in God's financial blessings. And there's so many things you'll learn. How many of you have been to the Christian Growth Seminar in the past? Wave your hand at me if you've been to the class. All right. How many of you have not attended the Christian Growth Seminar yet? Would you wave your hands for me? You haven't been to the Christian Growth Seminar? Perry, you've never been to the Christian Growth Seminar? You're kidding me. Rick, you haven't been to the Christian Growth Seminar? Yes or no? Not yet. Well, listen, I really want to encourage you. Come and join us. If you would like to sign up and you haven't yet done so, please raise your hand. James, our usher, is going to give you an enrollment card. You coming right, Casey? You already signed up? It's Tuesday, the 7th of November. We'll be starting. And also, if you've done the class in the past, and you say, Pastor Steve, can I do it again? Yes, you can come and do it again if you would like to. I've done it many times. I've probably been over 100 times. And so you're welcome to come back if you want to. I wonder where Tony Corrado is today. He's done the class a few times. And then the last thing I want to mention before we stand and just sing one more time, and that is that we do need some extra helpers for our setup team. James back there. Come and stand here, James. We need some extra people to help with setup. We have two setup teams, an A team and a B team. And the B team is just as good as the A team. But we need a few extra people, don't we, Jason? We need a few extra helpers. And what we're trying to do is get to a point where we only have people that are helping once a month with setup. But we need the more helpers we have that we can do that. But right now we've got two teams, so they're working every other week. So if you would like to help, please, we need your help. I'm asking you to help us with setup. We've only got a few more months left in the hotel. and you will lose the opportunity to say, I was on the setup team. I remember back in the hotel. I remember those days. Amen. And so please, if you would be willing to help with setup, come and speak to me or come and speak to Brother James. If you'd like to help with the usher team, he also needs that. Come and talk to him after the service. I know you appreciate it. I appreciate it. Jesus appreciates it. Do you know there are people that gave their life to the Lord today? People that prayed that prayer to receive Jesus. And if it wasn't for the setup team, we wouldn't be able to do what we do here. So I want you to give all of our volunteers. Our children's workers, our musicians, our singers, the sound, the media, set up, breakdown, everybody, we love you. Won't you stand with me and let's just sing one more time. Let's get